Okay. Here we go. We have a 12th house Taurus. All right. This was an interesting chart to review, and I'll get into why. But before we get started, I want you to know that we'll not discuss the aspects, okay? The oppositions, squares, trines, we're going to leave those out, but I wanted the chart to at least show the aspects. We're primarily going to focus on the planets. We're going to focus on the zodiac sign and the houses, the astrological houses. Now, the planets, we're only going to discuss the 10 planets. Maybe not all 10 because of time, but know that the planets represent a pre-birth intent. Okay, pre-incarnation intention to accomplish something that was started before coming into this life. And we want to work on trying to finish it off by the end of this physical life. So to create a balance, right? And the planets, they're the working with. When we go about our journey in life, it's the experimental work that we're trying to get things successful in our life, and that represents the information and the evolution in the course of the life from when we entered at birth and when we leave and our physical death. Okay. We symbolically are born and die every day, right? We rise in the morning, go about our day, we sleep at night, turn off the conscious mind. But back to the planets, they represent a potential to accomplish something in a certain area of life. Like this particular chart, we see that there's a Saturn in the first house, and there's a stellium of three planets in the fifth house, Libra. We'll talk about that. Okay. Now, the house sizes, especially for this chart, it's important to understand how I read the symbols and the patterns with the house sizes, because we can get a general idea of where the soul who incarnated is coming from, because the house represents, the house size can represent our past lifetime, or at least give clues, okay? So the size of the house represents roughly how much time and energy was spent dealing with certain areas in those lifetimes. And the astrological houses all have characteristics and attributions that we can look at to know what we can work on in this lifetime, or at least see what's difficult and what may come easy for us. So a small house would be less than 30 degrees in size. A large house would be greater than 30 degrees in size. All right. The entire chart is 360 degrees with 12 houses. Okay. 12 times 3, 360. Excuse me, 12 times 30, 360. All right. With the ascendant, let me go to the next slide. All right. I really like this image. I've tried to make it as simple as possible because it's a good visual for the subconscious to take a snapshot, right? Am I recording? Yeah, I am. Good. So with the ascendant, we can know that it's the pre-incarnation set of qualities that we aim to develop, perfect, and radiate to our environment in order to support the evolution of ourselves and humanity. Okay, does that make sense? So the zodiac sign which this particular chart, Gemini, that's going to be the Gemini expression is going to be with this individual for toward, consciousness towards self for the remaining of this lifetime. Yeah, it'll ebb and flow, but the vibration is there from birth. Okay. So for example, this Gemini ascendant will have a focus towards intelligence in this life. We'll probably read a lot or get some enjoyment out of reading books and attending lectures and discussions. Will probably has the potential to be a great writer, but in previous lifetimes, there was little opportunity to acquire knowledge. So by coming in this lifetime as a Gemini ascendant, the subconscious mind of this individual is trying to make up for lost time. And this individual also could be like a type of rebel by demonstrating their intellect. That doesn't mean it's bad. It just is. All right. All right. So that's the ascendant. With the nadir, we have the subconscious realm, right? This entire lower chart is the subjective inward state, inward perspective, the subjective plane. So we have the inner consciousness, the intuitional awareness. And we'll talk about the quadrants also, where this is where we can divide up our growth in our consciousness in this lifetime and expand our awareness into four types of categories. So, and this is, we'll get into that in a little bit. The descendant is consciousness of others and awareness of our relationships. This is where social development will begin, the third quadrant. And then the midheaven is our outer consciousness, the rational awareness of ourself. Okay. And the midheaven also is the experimental way that we're going to try to do things better based off the zodiac sign. That's the midheaven, which is Pisces. Okay. So Pisces type of expressions as a midheaven. This energy is mostly behind many of the choices that have been made in this life, and also what you intend to make in this lifetime. Very Piscean when it comes to the outer world. All right. And as for the inner world, it will be Leo. Okay. So here's a overview of the descriptions of the houses. All right. Can reference this as we go through your chart. Here is an image that I generated that included the North Node, South Node, that major asteroids, Black Moon Lilith, part of Fortune, but we're not going to discuss the Chiron. We're not going to discuss that today. All right. But I do like to go into that depth when it comes to symbols and patterns with astrology. But today we're just going to look at this chart, and I include tarot. All right. Tarot is a great symbolic image for the subconsciousness, because the subconsciousness, the universal language, is symbol, and tarot is embedded with many symbols that represent universal law and universal principles. So I think it's important to include both the tarot and astrology together. All right. So again, your ascendant. Very important. Gemini ascendant. There was most likely a lifetime or many lifetimes where there wasn't an opportunity to acquire knowledge. And just to put it simply, maybe maybe the soul experienced a life and created experiences where the intellect and seek for knowledge wasn't necessary. All right. We're always learning, no matter what life and zodiac sign we're always learning and growing our consciousness. And if we do digress a little bit, all it does is build up a charge and creates a launch pad for us to expand our consciousness even faster and farther. So it's we all end up at the same place. Okay. So I try not to compare, but just know that in this lifetime, it's kind of obvious that intellect pursuits of knowledge is going to be important. Now, you do have Saturn right there in the first house, Saturn in Gemini. So, in your first house, and it's a small house, this entire quadrant is small for your personal development. Normally, I take a lifeline and I'll go through each quadrant through the degrees, and we can pinpoint the age when certain unfoldment will occur. To make it simple, the first house is nothing more than we build a physical body, okay? From age zero, probably to about age eight, right here. Enter the second house, we build our emotional body from age eight to, just to keep it simple, and I'm guessing age 15. And then from age 15 to age 25, build a mental body. That's the personal development. And then we enter another cycle in our life, which we can categorize as family development, which look how big this quadrant is. That tells me that in previous lifetimes, there was your subconscious already is well developed in establishing a family or just the overall family development. Okay. Maybe that's why there's a Gemini ascendant. Maybe, yeah, it was just a normal life when it came to creating a family. But that's just a guess. Past life regressions are really good for trying to pinpoint exactly why we have these patterns in our astrology chart. All right, so with Saturn in the first house, watch out for doubting your own mental capacities, okay? Because you come into this life with great potential to gather knowledge and be an intellect, all right? But also watch out for listening skills, okay? Now, small talk might be very difficult for you with Saturn in that first house. Saturn is very serious, builds boundaries. But I can see in other parts of your chart where maybe Saturn was needed here because you do seem like you're very self-expressive based off the symbols, which is exactly what this lifetime is supposed to be about. It really is. And as we move through the rest of your chart, we'll see the symbols because maybe in the previous lifetime, society held you to where you couldn't fully express yourself. All right. Or your soul. Okay. And now your soul's like, okay, this lifetime, I'm going to really express myself. But Saturn in the first house will bring that more mature, serious attitude towards life. Okay. You might even be a little overcautious and limit yourself for potentialities, for being assertive when necessary. Like first house is home of Aries, right? The I am. And Aries, fire, is very assertive. Okay. And so with Gemini in the first house, you can kind of blend that together and Saturn's probably there to help create a balance. All right. Watch out for maybe distancing yourself from others. Like you could be very quick. Very quick, like up and done, done, move on, move on. But that isn't really necessary. Okay. Just be aware of it because that Saturn in the first house may judge others when really that's nothing more than a reflection, right? We're judging ourselves. Now, I wasn't going to bring this up in your chart, but I think it's kind of important. It's normally a whole separate topic, but you have what's called intercepts and duplicated signs. Let me turn on the Zoom 10. Here we go. Okay, so right here, so here's your Here's your second house. Here's your third. Let me erase that. Need to make this a little bit straighter. Here's your third house. The cusp of your second house, the cusp of your third house. Can you see your 30 degrees of Cancer? Is actually, it has, it's the ruler of your second and third house because this is called a duplicated sign. All right. Duplicated, just to put it simply, you know that you have a duplicated sign, duplicated signs in your chart, and I'll talk about intercepts in a minute. But this duplicated sign will cover extra territory and is more influential since they cover more areas in life. So, with your second and third house cusp, because this is a small house, then that means it's a pre-birth need. All right. It's less than 30 degrees. Your soul came in, it wanted to work on second. Let's see. It wanted to work on second house qualities and attributions, which is emotional body, self-value, self-sustainment, just to give you an idea. But this Cancer zodiac sign also will be the ruling planet and the zodiacal, I mean the self-expression of mental body, which is knowledge, left brain, and communication. So that means that your self-expression will be very cancering, if that's a word, cancer types of expression, all right, for your emotional body and your mental body and second house areas of life and third house areas of life. The reason when I use the lifeline, from age, again, from age 10 or 8 to 10, all the way up to probably age 25, you'll express yourself as more of a Cancer type. Now, the more dominant expression will be Gemini, but just know that as you enter different or cycles start unfolding within your life, like Saturn cycles. Every 7 year or every 28 years. Well, there's a 7 year Saturn cycle, and then there's Jupiter, which has 12 year cycles. It'll be very Cancer-like. Okay. This doesn't mean that you will not have Leo type of expressions. But when it comes to duplicated signs, that's the idea. That's just a real quick overview. All right. All right. You'll be stronger and growth could come a little bit easier, which is probably why you might have set it up this way. And the way this happens is because of where you geographically incarnate on Earth. This is probably a little bit closer to the equator. I think you were born in California, right? Normally, duplicated signs are more common towards the. Let's say that's even. Just know that. You'll have a stronger potential. The difficulties won't be as strong as they would have been without the duplicated sign. Now, when we take from one area to help, that means we have to pull from another, right, to create the balance. Notice how uneven this chart is. It's very slanted, right? A perfectly balanced chart would look just like that. And this chart is tilted way to the right. Okay. And that's okay. We incarnate like this on purpose so that we can grow our consciousness and expand our awareness and discover the self from within. But moving on to family development. Now, Leo, let me back up one more. Let me cover Tarot real quick. Gemini is assigned to Tarot Key 6. All right. The Lovers. So maybe consider contemplating on this image. All right. Maybe go. Seek out some knowledge as a Gemini ascendant on the symbols of tarot because your subconscious will release and unfold inner knowings to the conscious level, which is what we want, right? Subconscious already knows these symbols. Tarot and universal symbols have been in the collective consciousness of humanity for many millennias. All right. So this system is established already. Just a matter of choosing to take the time to get a better understanding, a higher understanding. All right. Family development. Right. Right here. That's a big quadrant. It's already well developed within your subconsciousness. All right. Now, you do have three planets here in Libra. That's with the three planets in fifth house. Remember we were talking about how you probably incarnated in this lifetime to focus on your self-expression because a previous lifetime you may have been very limited and not been able to express yourself the way you want to in a free, open way, right? You have a lot of air. You get Gemini. When it comes to self-expression, there's the air signs. You even have Jupiter up here. We'll talk about that when we get your social development. But let's go back to your fifth house, which is the self-expression house. Okay. Self-expression is so important. You have three planets there. And who knows, in the previous lifetime, society and family probably limited you, but know that this is also what I was speaking about earlier, your intercept. Can you see how it's a lot of lines on here? Let me start. Let me erase this. Can you see how Libra, the zodiac sign Libra is probably about 45 degrees. So this is 30 degrees. But Libra is essentially trapped within the large fifth house. That's why this chart is way off balance. It's because of the intercepts, the large houses. All right. And with this being Libra and Aries, because air that with intercepts, the other side is the same size, because normally all signs work together to balance each other out. The left side of the axis will balance the right side. So Aries normally works with Libra. But when it comes to intercepts, these it's like a broken seesaw. They're not able to balance each other out. And this actually makes sense with your chart because again, when it comes to self-expression, Aries is already well developed up here with no planets, none, no planets. So no pre-incarnation intentions were set. The planetary energies are not in here, they're elsewhere. Why? Because probably in that past lifetime, maybe you didn't have any relationships. Okay. Maybe you expressed yourself too freely and isolated yourself. So an incorrect, not incorrect, but just a way off balance way to express yourself. But with Libra in the fifth house and with three planets, that basically says that you're willing to express yourself in a way that involves others in the family development or society. Okay. It's no more, the goal is no more to express myself in a self-centered way or my way or the highway. It's more, you're more aiming and focused towards expressing yourself with others. Okay. For yourself and with others. So, yeah, most likely you were alienated with this 11th house Aries in your other lifetimes. And you probably couldn't see beyond the ego, right? Person, you couldn't see beyond the personal ego. That can happen when we get way off balance. And so maybe there was a lot of failed love relationships or just relationships in general. And that's why we have all this energy down here in Libra. Okay. Libra is not about failed relationships. In fact, it's about creating relationships. And with Pluto in Libra, there's little egotism and a willingness to compromise with others and to hear other points of view. So that's really good for your self-expression. Okay. And all this is on the subjective level. All right. I can also see through symbol that you'll seek harmony and peaceful relationships. Pluto is the source of power within this lifetime, right? Pluto is about divine will, a blending of individual will and divine will. So wherever Pluto is within the chart, we could use that symbol as a transformative type of symbol. So with this being in the Pluto being in the fifth house, you'll have a very strong creative focus in what you love to do, possibly even obsessive type of expression, like a deep need to prove yourself or a personal recognition might be compelling. But then again, you have Moon and Uranus right next to your Pluto in Libra. Okay, this stellium is very powerful for your self-expression. Now, Moon in Libra will desire the harmonious relationships, and you'll be a very thoughtful friend. Okay, be thoughtful of others, thoughtful towards family. All right. If there's any resentments towards family or maybe disownment, or and know that it was one either for On a soul level, this was an agreement to help both individuals with their own consciousness growth. Or two, there's an aspect within yourself that may hold a grudge or a resentment that maybe needs forgiven within yourself. But first, we got to identify it. We got to know what we're forgiven, right? And on a higher level, forgiveness is, we're all here just to create experiences, okay? And forgiveness is a concept where we are still holding on to something within this life that we haven't let go of. Once we forgive and let go of it, then there's more openness to being receptive. And for your self-expression, being receptive is paramount, very important. Okay. But you do have this, with that moon in Libra, you have this flair, or you make others feel accepted and appreciated. But let's see, think you might watch out for being indecisive from within yourself, okay? Because the moon in the fifth house, it can be emotionally expressive and dramatize your feelings, almost childlike playfulness is within you, which could be very healthy. But all this air that you have in your chart, right? You're flying high. You really are. So just watch out for the indecisiveness from within. Just think about that for a little bit for when you think about your self-expression. With Uranus in your fifth house, now that also is important because it's a clue that in a previous lifetime, there may have been some chaos in your self-expression. All right. And maybe that led to the alienation that we talked about, alienating yourself from everyone. Just Uranus, the lower influence of Uranus can just drop a bomb and create chaos and walk away. But the higher influence of Uranus can go into chaos and organize it. Can actually go within and create structures, new structures. So out with the old and in with the new, that type of energy. All right. But Uranus loves to get loose, get wild, very impulsive, and especially in Libra, the air sign, it enjoys being in Libra. Now, over here you have Neptune in the sixth house, right? When you're emotionally stressed or even confused, maybe indecisive, it could affect you physically. All right, Neptune, the lower influences of Neptune is delusional aspects of self. Right, it can cause confusion. So just watch out for emotional stress and when serving others and your day-to-day routine. All right, let's move on to the next quadrant. Your social development. Here we go. Small quadrant. This is a pre-birth need. Okay. Your soul actually wants to come in this lifetime and expand the awareness, create a balance with the social development in this life. All right. And you have one planet, which is Jupiter in Aquarius. So this is a great placement for your Gemini ascendant and also your stellium down here in Libra. So Jupiter is basically giving you the gift to improve your social development. It's an expansive view of the world that includes all of humanity. And it's fixed air, right? You have Jupiter in fixed air, so you're going to be very open to, your energy is going to be very open to progressive concepts, which will be very beneficial for your social development. Because ninth house, I mean, it's all about higher education and higher spirituality. Jupiter in ninth house is, you're going to be very open-minded. You'll have the urge to travel, probably widely, and experience as much of the world as possible, which will benefit your energy, by the way, because when you visit other cultures, again, Jupiter big and ninth house, long travels. So your social development will definitely expand in awareness. Your consciousness will grow if you focus and meditate on this Jupiter aspect, ninth house. And Sagittarius is the ruler of your social development quadrant. Okay. And Sagittarius is assigned to key 14. There's the Rainbow of Promise. You have the guardian angel who is mixing the fixed water, the fixed fire. So many symbols are here. Okay. And with Sagittarius, Jupiter is assigned to Sagittarius. Okay. It's home at Sagittarius. So you have a lot going on here for you in this small quadrant, which is much needed. Now, here comes the fourth quadrant. Fourth quadrant, already well developed within your subconscious. We already talked about your intercept with your Libra and Aries. You have Mars in Pisces. Well, this is probably there because remember when we mentioned how this Aries intercept might be a clue to maybe a past lifetime where you had a strong ego or you couldn't see past the ego and alienated yourself from others and didn't create a lot of relationships. Well, Moon in Pisces, you don't have a strong ego drive for material things or winning at the expense of someone else. And if you think you do, it's probably not you. Okay. Contemplate on your childhood. Take a look at your mom and your mother and your father. All right. It could be just parents living through you. And that's only that's going to happen anyway until we rediscover ourselves, or we what I call dethrone our parents because their influence is so strong from age 0 to 7, especially. But once we recognize the patterns that loop around from the impressions that were given to us as children, right? Until we release those, then a lot of times our parents are living through us and they're unaware of it. We're unaware of it. It just is. But that's part of our process of identifying when we rediscover self, when we know self. All right. Now, Mars in Pisces also means you have a very creative imagination. All right. Very creative imagination. And you're known for your drive and your energy. And there's even a competitive spirit there. All right. Just, even though supposedly you don't have a strong ego drive, you can be very competitive. All right. So let's finish up. And your sun is in Taurus. Okay. You are very patient. You have tremendous devotion, right? Your energy will follow through when you start something. Now, watch out for the lack of playing with ideas and possibilities. So open your mind. Think about Jupiter. Very open-minded. But over here, you have your sun. These are both masculine planets. You have your sun that has a tendency through Taurus not to be very open-minded. All right. Routine is very obvious for Taurian expressions. But in the 12th house, this is when we are. Well, let's just go back. Let's go look here. See, mysticism, inner powers, and oneness, right? It's the integration. This lifetime is probably finishing a cycle for you. This 12th house is just symbol for endings. Okay. Balance this chart out and move on to higher planes or reincarnate and just be higher in awareness and higher in consciousness and have a spiritual body. But with the sun in the 12th house, you enjoy working behind the scenes also. All right, the spotlight really isn't your thing, which is interesting for sun and Taurus 12th house, because the rest of your chart is all about self-expression. Now, you could be very expressive behind the scenes. I do it all the time. And there's a lot of people that do it all the time. But communication also seems to come easy for you. So it's interesting how, with your sun in Taurus in the 12th house, how that will play out, especially in your career development. Okay. Now, this doesn't mean that you'll be standing in front of people talking all the time or like a news anchor or anything, but I mean, maybe you will, I don't know. But career development quadrant also means how you want to be perceived by the world, right? How you want the world to see you with all your expression and how you express yourself, with your achievements, with your creativity. Right? Because remember, the midheaven is the way is the energy behind most of your choices. Okay? The energy behind most of your choices that you've made to your intentions in your lifetime. Even though you have your Gemini ascendant, but that behind your choices will be very Aquarian, all right? Be very Aquarian, going all the way up to your sun in Taurus. All right, so that was your natal chart. Now I'm going to quickly show you what I call vibrational astrology, and it's nothing more than I take your chart that we just looked at. I magnify it, which then I multiply all the angles between all the planets by the vibration, by the strongest vibration, and it magnifies orbs within your chart. And these orbs are displayed as such. You can see how this is not the same as your natal chart, but it's part of your natal chart. It's an orb, and thanks to very fast computer processing and that can solve mathematical equations very easily for us. I got 360 harmonics for you, with the highest score of harmonic 39 being 490, and then harmonic 233, 466. So that's how it works, all the way down to the 360th harmonic. And with each harmonic, we have descriptions that kind of show strong aspects within you that will play out in this lifetime. And your 39th vibe is the kind, intuitive pragmatist. There you can see the description. A few of listings that I put on there. I've got a couple pages for each vibration, for each lot of attributions. But this is just to give you an idea. Like Harmonic 233 has its own label to give you an idea. 261 has its own label, so I could give you the top 10 if you're interested. I also like to show the tarot key that's associated with the strongest vibe, and it's the Lord of Interference. So this is your minor arcana key. It's the Eight of Swords. So open your mind and sharpen your will to persevere through the difficulties, even if restriction and overcome obstacles seem hindered. Again, there's that open your mind, being open-minded. Okay. Because you have your Saturn in your first house, which is can be very restrictive, and you may not want to assert yourself. But at the same time, go back to your Libra fifth house, your Jupiter and Aquarius ninth house, you have the potential to balance your chart out by opening your mind or closing your or keeping your mind closed to ideas, especially with your Sun in Taurus. All right. Okay, that will be all for today. Let me hang on a second. So, hopefully, that was helpful. But know that also astrology and tarot, I just use all these symbols because I really enjoy for us to self-empower ourselves. Okay, we use these symbols to go within, contemplate. We identify aspects that we're playing out, habitual aspects that we may not even be aware of that subconsciously is have we come we have compulsions on when we do things and we don't know why, and we may not feel good about it. We may feel guilty or even go even further and feel shameful. So it's important to know it's just simple. We actually are very powerful. We're Christ consciousness beings, okay? We're eternal. We're here to play and love and live a heart-centered life, but we can use our powerful mind to explore ourselves, explore each other, explore the world. And I'll finish with this. It's very simple axiom. It's just know thyself, which we can use symbol to help, right? And we use our experience. Once we know ourselves well enough, then we can accept ourselves, and then we become the creator. We're co-creators, okay? We're part of the creator. We are the creator. All right. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoyed the reading, and it was an honor. Thank you.